continuation of the meeting that started at 9 o'clock. I do have an announcement. The checkout time at the hotel is 1 o'clock. We are meeting this afternoon, which is that critical meeting of electing a new state delegate of Georgia, and just as critical to elect a new alternate state delegate from Georgia. We'll start at about 1 o'clock. We've been very fortunate this weekend in having so many past delegates. Virgil and Bob were on the program last night and yesterday afternoon. I do want to recognize this morning two other great past delegates who have served us and continue to be available to serve us, Alan Royston and Keith Strickland. Are they in the hall? On a personal note, Keith served as chairman when I was the delegate, and I don't know what I would have done without him. And Alan served as my, shall we say, advisor behind the scenes, and I had to test everything with him, and I didn't pass very often. I love you both, and thank you. In case there was a question regarding the election of the new state secretary, on a special election, the chair had to also accept nominations in September. This would not happen in the regular course, but this is a special election, and we did want to give the GSRs of Georgia full notice so that if they had a nomination this morning, they could have one, and they did. And I have talked to both of the presently newly elected state secretary and that beautiful lady, Eileen, who was willing to stand and not lift a finger but be ready to serve Georgia. And I want to tell you that I love you both, and I thank you very much. The time has come now to hear from this guy on my right, who has served Alcoholics Anonymous in every job that is the power of AA to give, has served us well as the state delegate. He was the alternate delegate, and he really did a tremendous job for our state and in helping me. And it's been turned around the last 2 years. He's been the delegate, and I've been the state chairperson. And we have worked for the good of Alcoholics Anonymous together. And we love each other. And what that means, of course, is to me that when I tell you I love you, it means I wish you well. This guy will still stay in and become the state chairperson on the election of the new delegate, at least officially on January 1, but our practice has been that a new delegate sort of starts to get things together immediately after election so that they can have a running start. And I know that John will work just as well with whoever the new delegate is and the new alternate, as his record of service to Alcoholics Anonymous has been for many years. Won't you welcome and show your appreciation to a great servant of Georgia, John Langston, State Delegate of Georgia.
I can get through this thing. I am John Langston, and I am an alcoholic. A sober alcoholic by the grace of God and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and with the fellowship of you beautiful people. I have a revelation to make this morning. If you'll remember, in the May Grapevine, you're on the cover of a masked man, and the question has been asked many times, who was that masked man? And I can tell you now who it was. It was Joe Phelan. Joe's been around almost as long as God, so... Joe and I have worked together, and I do mean work. We love each other, and the word love to me does not always connote agreement. It does, as Joe said, mean we wish you well. And I feel this morning with mixed emotions, because I will be going out as your delegate, and I've enjoyed serving with you so very, very much. But I'll be entering into a new phase of service and as your state chairperson. And I want to thank you for your life and for the service that you have given to our God-given fellowship. I mentioned mixed emotions, and I do have mixed emotions because I do believe in rotation. And you know what mixed emotions are. Mixed emotions is when your 16-year-old daughter comes in at 6 o'clock in the morning with a Gideon Bible under her arm. Flora told me not to tell that. For God's sake, don't tell her I did. Joe, I want to thank you very much for coming and sharing with us. Joe Kraus was a delegate from Tennessee, was on the same panel with our beloved Alan Royston. Joe has been a workhorse in Alcoholics Anonymous, and we just appreciate him coming. I'll tell you this, and it hasn't been mentioned, but I know that Joe had to make a sacrifice to come. He goes to New York at least once a month, serve on the board, and sometimes twice a month. And when he came to us this weekend, he came directly from New York. And that, friends, is dedication, and we thank you, Joe, for the wonderful job that you're doing for Alcoholics Anonymous and in representing us. Also, would like to thank all of the past delegates who counseled with me and helped me in the true spirit of love and guiding and helping, and I thank each and every one of you for that, because I couldn't have done it without you. And also to thank the district committee members. When I became your delegate, I asked you to help me and ask you if you would work, and you said you would, and you did. And what we have today in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is in great measure due to the dedication of the district committee members serving quietly in your districts and with your GSRs, who also are very, very dedicated. And I thank you for that. Also want to thank those who served on the various committees, done such an excellent job. Don Anderson, our state grapevine chairperson, who came to be grapevine chairperson when it looked like maybe the grapevine was going to go down the tube. And in our area and in our small way, we helped pull it out. And I can tell you today that we're at the very top in grapevine subscriptions. And I think that's great. Maynard Yellow Horse, of course, who has worked so diligently and tirelessly with the institutions. And I thank you, and the assembly thanks you, Maynard, for the wonderful job that you've done. On a personal note, besides being a great trusted servant of this assembly since its inception, with the exception of a short period when she was sick, and a very, very dedicated person, and a very, very close friend of mine, Lillian Miller. We owe her a great deal. And to Paul, our excellent treasurer, thank you, Paul, for the work that you've done, for helping me and for helping this assembly And as Paul himself says, in helping himself, I think that's great. Pat, our civilian employee of the office, Pat has done a tremendous job. Anytime you're through making, go by the office and see the office and visit with Pat. She'd be glad to see you. Thank you, Pat, for all of your work. And GC, who has taped our assembly, has the tapes available and set up the microphones so it would be easier for us to communicate with you so that we could share together. And thank you, GC, for the wonderful work that you have done. We do believe in rotation in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it comes time for me to rotate, for Joe to rotate. And rotation has many, many advantages, but two I can think of. One is the great value of rotation for the one who is being rotated. I've come to understand what rotation means and how the spiritual aspects of it. And it helps me. I know at one time in my home group, I was just about everything until the group decided that wasn't the way they wanted to operate it. And they kicked me out, practically. And they used to do that, Virgil. And I said, just watch these people fold up when I leave. I left, got me a coffee cup, resentment, and a sack of donuts, and started me another group. I thought I would go back and see if they had amended their ways. And I got back, and about that group was about 10 times as big as it was when I left. That's the spiritual aspect of rotation. It was good for me. I think it kept me from getting drunk. I think it kept me from dying. Because I learned what the program of Alcoholics Anonymous really is all about, that we truly are in this all together. And it's good for our fellowship because we don't have any kings. We don't have any laws. We have spiritual principles. We have traditions. And our beloved co-founder, Bill Wilson, said that we should abide by the spirit of our traditions. Carry them in our hearts. They're here to help us. I want to urge each one of you to get a copy of the conference report. As Joe will tell you, and I'm going to hurry through this because I do want Joe to share with us. He has some very important things that he's going to give us, and I want you to listen very carefully to what he has to say. Alcoholics Anonymous belongs to you, and we are in this together. So get a copy of this conference report, this passionate purple color. I don't know where they came up with that. Get this conference report and read it, study it, find out what is going on in Alcoholics Anonymous. You need that, and also on page 20, I think it is, there's a very important article. I won't go into that. We have some problems. I don't know of any organization that doesn't have problems. I think we have fewer than anybody else. My church has problems. Some other things that I'm in have problems. And I sometimes think, wouldn't it just be great if they had our tradition and had our concepts? But they won't. We have a problem with addiction today. Drug addicts, pure drug addicts who are not members of Alcoholics Anonymous, or not alcoholic. Dually addicted people coming to our meeting. And I see a great opportunity in this because we don't wish to be exclusive. We want to help. But there are some things that AA can do and there are some things that AA cannot do. I think if you will get the four presentations that were made at the conference and we have them available in the office, Pat will be glad to send you a copy of them. I think these will cover all of these different questions that come up. One topic is AA and drug addicts, made by the delegate from Tennessee, Buford L. The second topic was made by Helen Turnquist, staff member at GSO. asking the question, does the pamphlet Problems Other Than Alcohol Meet Today's Needs? That pamphlet may be changed, it may be updated. And number three, are we helping the dually addicted person? This little girl, delegate from California, who stood up and made this presentation and talked about her drug problem and her alcohol problem, and mostly her alcohol problem, and emphasizing that Alcoholics Anonymous cannot help anyone except those who are alcoholics, but that she as an addict, as an individual, could do as Bill suggested. We can help them as individuals. And the presentation that I made on what does AA, or how does AA react when the drug addict comes to our meeting. If you will get these four presentations, if you're interested in this problem, I think they will be very beneficial to you. Dr. Jack Norris has attended every one of the conferences since its inception, I believe in 1951. And one day Dr. Jack stood up and said, the conference is a sea of, an isle of serenity in a world of insanity. And I think that each one of us here this morning, starting at the top, the GSRs, the district committee members, the state delegates, your alternate state delegate, Frank, and your chairperson and our trustee, Joe Krause, will agree that our assembly is an island of serenity in a world gone mad. When we look at the newspapers and we see the terrible things that are happening, and we come together here in love. And the only question that we ask is, how can we stay sober and pass this God-given privilege of staying sober, this solution, to those still wandering in darkness? We do have problems. But I like to look at problems not as insurmountable, but as opportunities. When you see a problem, think what you can do to solve it. And when you solve it, you grow. And that problem becomes another opportunity, another milestone in our sobriety. We've talked about drug addicts. We're facing our problems. We don't shy away from problems in Alcoholics Anonymous. We face up to them. Somebody asks a question at the assembly or in our groups, we don't say we don't have time to answer that. We do have time. We want to answer your questions. We don't shy away from problems. We try to turn our problems into stepping stones and into opportunities. We have a phenomenal growth in Alcoholics Anonymous today. Joe will touch on this. I won't say much about it. But we do see people coming in to AA in droves. That's a great opportunity for us. Some people express concern that maybe they're going to overrun our groups. I've felt this sometimes. But we have an opportunity to carry the message of recovery, the 12 steps, to these people who come to us, and also to sponsor them in the traditions, these spiritual principles that have kept us together for almost 50 years. And sponsor them in service through our 12 concepts for world service. In our AA service manual and in the Georgia service manual, the new printing, there's a copy of the 12 concepts for world service in its short form. Get this and read it and understand it and know what each one of them means. And understand the 12 warranties of the General Service Conference, because this is your program. You need to know these things. We've been talking a great deal about finances, about money, about the need to drop a little bit more in the basket. Money doesn't buy what it used to buy. I don't want to lead you astray. We don't have a money problem as such in AA. We can get money. We're getting it, and Joe will tell you about this a little later. It's where the money is coming from. We are supposed to be self-supporting. AA is where it is today because the members dug in their pockets and gave, some of them, when they didn't have it to give. We want to keep it that way. We want to keep AA for ourselves, for the one who still comes to us, because if we ever lose it, friends, if it ever becomes financed through literature sales or anything else, then we won't have Alcoholics Anonymous like we have it today. And that drunk stumbling in darkness will have no place to go. Because you can't get sober just by reading out of a book. You can't get sober just by attending a meeting. It takes all of it. It takes the program, the fellowship, the whole ball of wax to get sober and to stay sober. I hope you'll remember that. Our prepaid state convention, I think we're the only one now that has a prepaid state convention such as we have. This is for the advantage of the new man, the new woman coming in. And the convention is held in that area that he or she lives in. Be able to attend this convention. We come from all walks of life and from all different places. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was employed, but just barely. But I was head over heels in debt, and I didn't have $10 to shell out to go to a convention. But I did go to a convention, the old Biltmore Hotel, and I was greatly impressed by it. I've been going to them ever since. And when the convention is held in other places, such as Albany and Augusta and Macon, Atlanta, these new people come in, and I have talked to many of them that is just overwhelmed by this, seeing that many happy people, hearing the experience, strength, and hope from those who share from the podium, and the fellowship, the meetings before the meetings, and the meetings, and then the meetings after the meetings. And it's great. We have a prepaid convention. It's not free. I don't like to hear that word, free. There's no free lunch anymore. Paid for by the group. So when you go back, emphasize to your groups that we need to support our state assembly. We need to support our prepaid state convention. And those of you in metropolitan areas that have an intergroup or a central office, you need to support that. Take care of home folks first with our money. Dr. Bob, when he was leaving us, had cancer and knew he wouldn't be around very long, said those famous words that I think we should imprint in our hearts, that our 12 steps in their essence, and I'm paraphrasing, boil down to two things, love and service. And we know what love is, and we know what service is. And let's keep these two things in mind. And may we never become so busy that we'll not have time to extend or attempt to extend to our less fortunate brother that degree of helpfulness that has been so beneficial to us. And Bill, as he looked out over New York on Park Avenue from his office, knew that he wouldn't be around much longer. Knowing that the fellowship would expect some final word from him, told us to hang on to our anonymity principle. Anonymity to me means a lot more than just trying to hide in an AA group and not let anybody know who I am. Anonymity means that the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is much more important than John Langston. That we are here to serve in the true meaning of service, and that we are to practice spiritual principles, that we don't place one person above another, as in our rotation and every other principle that we have in this wonderful fellowship. And these two words I would leave with you this morning. And as our great past trustee, Bernard Smith, who helped Bill in writing the 12 concepts, stood up at the General Service Conference and said, we may not need a conference to stay sober ourselves, and I don't think we need an assembly, really, to stay sober ourselves. But we do need it for that drunk that's stumbling out there in darkness, just a few blocks from this meeting room. And this morning, if you think about it, my dear friends, a future delegate from the state of Georgia, a future chairperson, a future treasurer, future GSR and district committee member, is writhing in agony, coming off of a drunk, needing that drink that he must have in order to live. And we carry that message to that person. And we watch him grow. And there is no greater joy than sponsoring someone in Alcoholics Anonymous and see him gradually get better and get into service. I love you. I know that you love me. I've always been a very secluded person. I've found it very difficult to let anyone get close to me. I've always been lonely. But I'm getting better. We don't get well overnight, but I am getting there. And I know in my heart, deep in my heart, that each and every one of you loves me this morning, and I return that love to you. I thank you for the opportunity of having been able to serve you. Over the... Go ahead. I'm through, Joe. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Frankly, I needed it. It is nice to be appreciated. Now we come to a very important part of our program, and I hope no one will leave. Because we have two men here that I want you to listen to, and listen to very carefully. On a serious note, I have known Joe Phelan, I believe, for 16 years. I knew him before he ever knew me. I remember listening to him talk at conventions and places. And I've always admired Joe. Haven't always agreed with him, but I've always admired him. Over the past 6 years, he was a district committee member and I was an alternate delegate. Then we served together when he was delegate, and as he told you, he has served, and we have served together as chairperson and delegate. And in the true spirit of love and concern, one for the other, we've ironed out problems and we have grown together. And Joe, I want to tell you that I do appreciate serving you. I do love you very much. And I want you to be... Listen very carefully to what our rotating chairperson has to say this morning. God bless you, Joe.
My name is Joe Phelan, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. And I have mixed feelings this morning. In the beginning, let me echo every word that John has said. So we'll... That's all covered. To have had the opportunity and to still have it one day at a time to work with you, to serve you, to do what I could do to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous through our service structure has been a privilege. I've also been given the view by you of our great state, every nook and cranny, every part of Georgia. I have been in many of your homes. I have had a chance to meet with you in district meetings and in AA meetings all over this state for many years. I have a view of this fellowship that you gave me, and I think for in a very brief time, I think that what I would like to share with you this morning is that view. My sobriety date is March the 1st of 1949 in a little town outside of Boston. 4.5 years later, we came to Georgia in June of 1953. My view of Alcoholics Anonymous then was 4 meetings in Atlanta and 5 or 6 more out in the state. There were 10 groups in Georgia 30 years ago. And my view today is similar to your view. I see hundreds and hundreds of groups, and I see hundreds and hundreds of meetings. To have had the privilege of sobriety one day at a time, to have had the experience of living sober, to have had the gifts of this sobriety one day at a time from a God of my own understanding has been something that there is no question in my mind. It is the greatest thing in my life. But I also think that I need to walk that gift. I need to walk that talk. And in so doing, I needed to, and I was given the opportunity by you and some of my friends in this room this morning to serve in the Third Legacy 8 or 9, 10 years ago. I think I also always count the tremendous unifying effort in Atlanta as evidenced by the Atlanta Roundup as my first formal effort in service. And yet, going back 30 years with you in Georgia, I have been given the opportunity all the way, and I have taken it to the best of my ability to serve this fellowship in many ways. My view is tremendously positive. My view of Alcoholics Anonymous is confident. My view of the problems that we have over the long range of history of Alcoholics Anonymous is basically the same. If I don't have some problems, I'm really not living. But in this fellowship, in our steps, in our concepts, in our traditions, I have the ways to do what I can do as a grateful recovering alcoholic. Problems other than alcohol. AA has been plagued with that from almost the beginning. We are bigger now. They are more obvious. But yet I see on the horizon 150 NA groups in Georgia today, and I see 500 of them 5 years from now, and God willing, how many? And I think it'll have the effect of taking the cork out of the bottle. I think it'll be positive for Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think it'll be positive for those folks who are afflicted with problems other than alcohol. The treatment center industry. I have had a view at the center in the last 2 years, and it is my considered opinion, backed by 30 years of management, that that industry is going through a regurgitation and a massive change that is just starting. And I see on that, and in that, I see the opportunity for more drunks to get sober. I see growth in Alcoholics Anonymous. I see a better way as the industry itself really faces up and starts to police itself. In the DUI issue, I see another 1 million members of Alcoholics Anonymous so quickly that it's going to surprise us. And that brings us to one of the things that I see as a recovering alcoholic in Alcoholics Anonymous to do about it. And as usual, I will delegate it. But I had the experience in July of being at a district meeting in District 1. There were 15 GSRs in the room that morning. And we had a sharing session. And the DCMs, Patsy and Earl, took up the challenge that was laid down. And they went to all their groups and all their GSRs. And recently, in the last week or 10 days, I got a report from the meeting just held a few days ago. There were 27 GSRs present. And that tells me, and that reinforces my confidence and experience, that the strength of Alcoholics Anonymous lies at the group level, with the GSR and with the committee member. And I am confident that if the committee members of Georgia take up that challenge at their very next meeting, that next time we come to Macon, next time we come to our assembly, there will be in many, many more GSRs. There will be much more involvement in total Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I mean by that is involvement in my own recovery, involvement in unity, and involvement in service. So that this great fellowship, I believe in my own heart, founded by a God of my own understanding through the people of Alcoholics Anonymous, starting with Bob and Bill, will be ready to accept more and more members faster and faster, and be able, through a major increase in our service structure, major involvement, to not only handle it, but to handle it well. Here in Georgia, we now have 29 districts. I hear, as I talk and circulate around this weekend, I hear of another 5 or 6 additional districts that could be formed as quickly as next year. After all, the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, the principles, remain the same. The face of Alcoholics Anonymous has changed, and that is good. But the principles are the same. And to me, the message is simple, that I need to ask a God of my own understanding today to be sober, to try and do his will, and to always be ready to do what I can for the sick alcoholic who wants my help. That is the message. That has not changed. And everything that we all do, if I think about it, and I do often, has to do with that carrying of that message. I feel so good about our assembly. I feel so good about the free interchange of what comes on. I feel so good about the past delegates of Georgia, who have continued to exhibit their interest, both by being here, but even more so, by being in the background and being available to those who seem to have your jobs now. I want to give credit and gratitude here in this meeting to Virgil Warren, who has been a tremendous help personally to Joe Phelan, as he's tried, particularly in the last year or two, to do the best job he can as chairperson of Georgia. You know, chairperson of the assembly is the job, but there isn't much difference. What it really means is total involvement. I see a change in the service structure in terms of a greater team effort. I see the state committee of the 5 officers. I see them working much more closely together. I see them fanning out into this state to carry the message. It's been happening. And I'm confident it will happen. 4 years ago, we started to do a few workshops around the state to bring small assemblies to every corner of the state. In the last 2 years, under John's leadership, that has been speeded up. And all that has to do with his communication and the better handling of what we do. I can't tell you how good I feel about seeing in action this weekend the great principle of rotation. You will be electing, you've already elected one, you will be electing three of the five state offices this weekend. New blood, new ideas, new sobriety, coming through and filtering through, working together as we stand amongst each other. There is no way that I can adequately thank you, the God of my own understanding, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, my wife, my children, all the people who have been in and continue to be in my life for what you have given me. And I learned that a long time ago when I asked my original sponsors, after realizing that I had a chance to get sober and stay sober. And they said, Joe, go out and live your life soberly, with confidence and with courage, and always be available. It is really not with very mixed feelings that I go to the back of the room. I will not leave you because I need you and I love you. But it'll be nice to be sitting back there where Alan and Keith are right now, sending a few sign signals, but very few, the first assembly or two. And to be amongst the greater whole. When I was a kid, getting sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I used to be a kid at one time, about 4 months into my sobriety, I heard this young guy talk. And he told a story about the sick drunk. The sick drunk who was alone and beaten and broken, and nothing could happen to him. He was gone, just like I was gone. And the young guy came around the corner and gave him a half pint and said, listen, take this drink, it'll help you, and then come on home with me. We used to be doctors 35 years ago in AA, too. And suddenly it dawned on this young guy, it dawned on him, he's had a chance, he had a friend, he wasn't alone. And as the tears rolled down his cheeks, he looked at his benefactor and he said, God is good, God is good. And as I look out in this great room with you who are the lifeblood of my life, I can only echo the words of that drunk long ago. God is good. He's been very good to me, a sick drunk, and I'm grateful. Thank you. Now comes the time to introduce to you the Southeastern Regional Trustee who has spent all weekend with us, and we're better for it. I've known Joe for 7 or 8 years. I know Joe. I know where he's coming from. And where he's coming from is a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and a great trusted servant of this fellowship. Joe, I want you to know that I love you, and I'm proud to introduce you to the Assembly of Georgia. Joe Kraus.
I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Joe Kraus. After listening to John and Joe, I can't help but remember that a few years ago, I have done not as eloquently as they did, but I bowed out as delegate, and 2 years later, I bowed out as state chairman. And I had the same aspirations that was just expressed here of being in the back of the room. And I made my closing remarks in Nashville, Tennessee in October. In November, the new delegate called me and said, would you take a job at the January Assembly? And naturally, I thought he meant for me to make the keynote address. And I said, certainly, I'll be glad to. He said, we need a coffee chairman and we want you to be it. So, Joe, the road down is all right. As the trustee for the Southeast, I very much appreciate being invited to your election assembly. And I know if I start naming names, I'll leave someone out, so I want to thank everyone for inviting me, for your kindness, consideration, and courtesy that you've shown me this weekend. It has been great, and I'm taking back information concerning your assembly, which I will share with the other 20 trustees. I think the easiest way to start this is to tell you that you are stockholders in a corporation. And that corporation is called the General Service Board or General Service Office. It just happens to be in New York. It happens to be there because Bill lived there, and Bob agreed to have it there. Now, the General Service Board is a membership corporation of 21 members, 14 alcoholic trustees, and 7 non-alcoholic trustees. It's a membership corporation, which means the 21 trustees are the operating entity of General Service. And you, the members, and the groups control that corporation. If we don't perform in the way you want, you can replace us. You give a proxy to your delegates when you elect them and send them to the annual conference, at which time they cause us to take a 10th step, more or less. Now, your General Service Board is a membership corporation of 21 members, but your board owns 2 subsidiary corporations. One of them is the Grapevine. And you heard a very good report, and I want to compliment the chairman on making that report and to tell him that I have listened to the tape, and it is great, and I hope everyone here will avail themselves of it. The Grapevine was on some hard days, but my understanding from other board members on the Grapevine board is that they came out with a zero balance at the end of June, and they now are making a buck. And I think the hard days are over due to the support of states like Georgia, who continued to support it even when people were talking about let's do away with the Grapevine. So you are to be commended for that, and I thank you as a member of the parent corporation. The AAWS, or Alcoholics Anonymous World Service, the corporation of which I serve as chairman, is your publishing or your financial operating arm. Now, this board is rather unique in that 2 regional trustees serve on this board. And this has only been true for the past 7 years. the Southeast not only was singled out to have the first mini forum or mini conference in 1975, but the Southeast is the only area that's had two regional trustees to serve on this board. Dave Cook served on it for 2 years, and I started my third year, which is another first because the term is 2 years. Unfortunately, I've been able to serve as a member of the board. Last year I served as the treasurer of the board and this year as chairman of the board. So the Southeast does have some clout. Believe you me, it does. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to go down here to the blackboard because if I read figures, somebody's going to say, "What did you say?" And I'm going to have forgotten because I'll be on the next set. So if anyone wants to take some notes, I'll put them on the board, and our tapers very kindly put a microphone down there for us. Now, rather than take a chance on skipping something, I'm going to read the report to you that I gave to the trustee meeting in July. Each committee and each operating arm of General Service reports to the trustees as a whole on Monday morning following each board weekend. The board meets in January. It meets during the conference week in April. It meets in July and October. AAWS meets each month, and in many cases twice a month. So that necessitates all of the directors and the trustees attending these meetings. So I am at the General Service Office quite often. But I want to read this report, and I hope there'll be a few minutes where I might field some questions. But this is the report that I gave to your trustees in July. AA World Service Report, February through July 1983, Joe Krause, Chairman. Between February and July 1983, the following significant items are noted. We reviewed and recommended to the Trustee Finance Committee the GSO budget for 1983. With board authorization, AAWS transferred $655,900 to the General Service Board to cover the operating deficit for the year ending 12/31/82. Surplus cash in excess of basic operating requirements amounting to $200,000 was transferred to the General Service Board Reserve Fund in March 1983. Reviewed and approved the recommendation of budget additions for the first 6 months of 1983 totaling $16,800 and recommended that this request be forwarded to the Trustee Finance Committee for approval. Phyllis Mosbach reported on the second European service meeting held in Frankfurt, West Germany, February the 18th, 20th, 1983, where she delivered the keynote address. This is one of the meetings where nations and given part of the world get together in the years between World Service meetings to discuss their common problems and to help nations which are not sufficiently developed to send representatives to the World Service meeting. Similarly, Susan Daly, who will be taken on the overseas assignment at rotation time, is presently attending the third Ibero-American General Service encounter in Brazil. Welcomed four new directors to their first meeting in May: Bill Cronk, Tom Jasper, Shep Ramey, and Natalie Swanky. The following slate of officers were elected at the May meeting: Chairman Joe Krause, President Bob Pearson, First Vice President Jackie Solomon, Second Vice President Sarah Price, to be replaced by Betty Little at rotation, Treasurer Natalie Swanky, Secretary Madeline Whitlock. The directors were assigned to serve on AAWS subcommittees as follows: Nominating, Jackie Solomon, John Bragg, Tom Jasper. Reprint, Sarah Price, Bill Cronk, Bob Pearson. Salary and budgets, Natalie Swanky, Joe Krause, Chef Ramey. Accepted the recommendation of the Public Information Committee, which was approved at last year's conference, that a small literature display rack be made available to PI committees who would distribute them to doctor's offices and social agencies. These would be in the form of a lightweight cardboard container with a self-contained easel. About 1,000 of these will be ordered and supplied with about 100 of the flyers, AA at a glance. These will be sent to our PI committees at no charge to determine if there is a demand for this type of display, and if so, the matter will come back to the board for pricing. Hired a new staff member, Eileen Gotza, to replace Beth Kuhlman, who is retiring at the end of August. Eileen reported to work July the 25th. Approved the hiring of a young AA member as a summer intern at GSO from June 1 to August 31st to be stationed primarily in the archives, where he will work on the indexing of our 16 scrapbooks, the indexings of bills, correspondence, and the screening of file material which has been eliminated from the active files. He will also be available as a vacation replacement as needed elsewhere in the organization. We opened a new warehouse in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This will not only shorten the response to quantity orders from customers in the upper Midwest, but the large volume moving through the new warehouse will result in sizable saving in shipping costs. We are also examining the economic feasibility of opening a warehouse in Western Canada, primarily for literature or service to that region, which now must come from several thousand miles from our Toronto warehouse. The agreement between the Central American Literature Committee in Costa Rica and AAWS has been duly signed and executed, and they have now assumed complete responsibility for publishing and distributing AA literature in Central America. However, we are concerned that they have not established prices on the sale of the big book and other literature high enough to pay for printing cost of the literature sold, to cover service cost, and to build up working capital for future printing of books and booklets to replace the inventory being sold. We have written them to reconsider their price structure. We approve financing assistance to Holland for an amount up to $36,500 to publish 4,000 copies of the big book in the Dutch language. This aid is being subject to our standard agreement. We own the inventory and they repay the cost of production as books are sold. We granted 40 requests to reprint our literature. 3 requests were denied. At the suggestion of some who noted there were no big books in libraries, the trustees' PI committee undertook a mailing of this book to libraries around the country which have purchasing budgets of $10,000 or more. The mailing has produced 500 orders for a total of 750 big books. Orders were also received for 55 big books in Spanish and 23 in French. Alcoholics Anonymous was one of the 20 winners of the 1983 President's Volunteer Action Award. The awards are sponsored by the National Center for Citizens Involvement, a private nonprofit organization, and Action, the Federal Agency for Volunteer Service. Dr. Bill Flynn accepted the awards and Vinnie McCarthy accompanied him. Now that is a very brief synopsis of what your one corporate board did in a period of 3 months. This week I was attending the AWS annual monthly meeting, and I brought back an agenda, and I also brought back figures which I want to give you. And time permitting, I hope I can field answers. There's a couple of very interesting things that I thought you might be interested in. The General Service Office processed and handled over 4,000 listings for new groups in 1982, 4,000 additions that we know of. You also might be interested to know that every 2 working days, we sell more big books than the entire printing of the first edition amounted to, or 2,500 books are sold each working day. I don't know, but I know the Bible outsells everything else, but I don't know of any other single one book that has sold anything like that volume. The meeting of your AAWS follows a very formal agenda because everything that comes into GSO from anywhere in the world has to be processed and handled at these monthly meetings, and that's why we have to meet monthly. For example, we had a request at the meeting Thursday from Malta. The Malta groups asked permission to print in Maltese the following preamble. I am responsible. How it works is AA for you, and this is AA. Now, we didn't know anybody that spoke Maltese. So, does anybody here want to volunteer to do our editing for us on that? No, I'm kidding. That means we've got to go out now and search and find someone who is fluent in Maltese to be able to make a true translation so it can be approved and these people can have it in their own language. Canada, the Quebec Literature Committee, has permission to make a French version of AA and Inside View. Now, this one has to be helped up because we've got all kinds of problems in French. I didn't know there were so many different types of French. You've got, it's like the Dutch, you know, you've got High Dutch and Low Dutch, and the two never meet. Well, you've got about six different French. We made a mistake last year. We used a translator from Paris who said that she had perfect French, but the French Canadian said it's lousy French. So here again, we ran into a problem. Operation Clark Support wanted permission. Oxford University Press wanted permission. Cross Addiction Anonymous wanted permission. Tri-County Medical Center wanted permission. Overeaters Anonymous wanted permission. And we have to read what they are submitting and make sure that they comply with all of the requisites for not infringing on copyrights. Because the copyrights belong to you, the stockholders in AA. I'm not going to try to go through the cash position or anything like that, but I'll give you some figures, and then I'm going to put some figures on the board. The figures on the board are going to take just a minute, but for the first 8 months of 1981, the contributions came to $1,203,700. In 1982, for the same period, it was $1,124,000. The increase is $79,700, or 7.1%. The number of groups contributing in 1983, 30,059. 82 for the same period, 27,505, an increase of 2,554, or 9.3%. Now, the total GSO expense, this is the expense of servicing groups and has nothing whatever to do with AAWS or the Grapevine. The expense for that period of time was $2,876,100. So you see, that's where the publishing company makes up the difference between the cost of operating and the income produced by contributions. Now, I want to go down and put these figures on the board so you'll have a chance to see them and put them down if you want. I'm going to move down here. Add those figures, I'll put down the number of books that were sold in the month of August. Just for the month of August. This is for the eight months, and then I'll put the August figures next to it. Books. And I'm leaving off all of the foreign and pamphlets and everything else, but these are the books that were shipped in August, and these are the totals for the 8 months. Now, on the far side, I'm going to put a dollar value beside these books so you'll see the size of the business that you own. These figures do not include pamphlets, which came to $514,000, other publications for $230,100, and foreign publications, our literature printed in foreign languages that we print and stock in mail, of $41,100. The number of orders processed came to 20,759. AA is quite well and quite vivid in what it's doing, when in an eight-month period, 20,759 literature orders are shipped. Now, we have some additions to this. Sales non-AA. This is primarily to treatment centers such as Hazleton, CompCare, and so on. It amounted to $836,000 for the 8 months, compared to $713,600 last year, or an increase of $122,400. Fellow alcoholics, there's a lot of literature floating around out here somewhere. A lot of it. Yesterday, at a couple of meetings, the membership survey came up, and I'm going to read you the report that we have so far on it. The 1983 membership survey is being conducted from September the 12th to the 23rd in the 560 groups selected at random by the computer. The package of questionnaires were mailed about 3 weeks ago, and except for some delays in the Canadian mails, the project seems to be proceeding on schedule. The questionnaires for the Canadian groups are printed in English on one side and French on the other. In the English, U.S. questionnaires are printed in English and Spanish. Questionnaires are due back to GSO by September the 29th for U.S. groups and October the 7th for Canadian groups, and will be analyzed by a computer service engaged for this purpose. Because of some delays in our schedule, the 1983 membership survey neatly straddles staff rotation, but both Vinnie and Lala seemingly are able to cope. So, the surveys I saw John give out yesterday, please try and get them completed so they can be back to general service by September the 29th. Big boy? Send them back to John, please, so he can send them through. The publishing projects that are underway right now is the first 50 years. You know, in 1985, AA will be 50 years old. And just for the sake of knowing, because I've been concerned about this, how many people in the room have 25 years in AA? Holy smokes. How many are aware that there's a publication called 25 Years in AA? This booklet is a history of your organization. It's a book about this size and about a little over a quarter of an inch thick. I'm sure it's now on your order forms, and I personally think it's one of the finest pieces of literature that AA has. It gives you a lot of background information, and it gives you a history of it. You know, it's frightening to me, and I've seen this happen. Newcomers come in, and you're talking about Dr. Bob or Bill, and no one seems to know who they are. And in such a short span of time, because Bill's only been dead 12 years, that we could forget from where we came. So if you are interested, please get one of those. They are available. But anyway, the new one, the first 50 years, is now complete. The next step is to lay out the sample pages with visual material from the archives, and we hope to have that in print before the 1985 convention in Montreal. We have sent back the second draft of the Bill W. biography and are waiting for the corrected draft, and we hope to have that ready for print by 1984. The revised GSO film strip is being worked on by our production company now, and it should be out by the time of the next conference. The 1985 conference, Bob Pearson visited the site, and they had about 450 people who were planning conferences there. And Bob told me that he certainly was the center of attention, because when he told them that they expected in excess of 30,000 people, he got all attention. None of the other conferences come anywhere close to that. So I'm sure many of you don't know, some of you don't know, that both Betty Little and Phyllis Mosbach, who many of you have corresponded with, have both been on the ailing list. Phyllis broke her hip, and Betty had to have operation on her foot, and they're both back at work. Now, I know that figures are dry and dull, and I know that this has to proceed at a rapid pace, but it's 10 minutes of 12. And I hopefully would like to have 10 minutes to answer questions if I can. If I can't, I'll take the question and get your name and address and get you an answer and mail it back. So with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I would like to open the floor for questions.
I'm Patsy Gill, not allowed
to. Hello, Patsy.
Will there ever be another print of the first edition of the big book, or is there any way that you could get a copy of that?
You might find one by some miracle in a junk store, but no, there'll never be another printing. If you would like to see a copy of all of the printings in their respective dust jackets, try and get into the General Service Office in the archives, because they're all encased in glass, and it's quite a moving experience to see it. The only thing that's been changed are the stories, and that had to be updated.
I know. I'd just like to have one of all three.
So would I.
John Langston, I would like for Joe to emphasize a little bit more on where how our contributions relate to the sale of our literature. I think it's something like, this is something that disturbs me. Alcoholics Anonymous belongs to us. If we want to keep it, we've got to support it. Will you tell us a little bit more about it?
As I read you, we had to transfer in excess of $600,000 to cover. And really, I'll be quite truthful with you. I had a nice talk all laid out. And then I decided, after listening to John and Joe, that there was no point in my trying to be eloquent. I would use some facts and figures. But I didn't bring the year-end report, which I should have. But I can tell you, at this time, for the first 8 months, what we are short. And I'm not making a pitch for money, don't misunderstand. We are operating. But as my good friend who served with me back there in the back will bear this out, and I'm going to tell you a little story. In 1976, I was serving as chairman of the finance committee of the conference, delegates finance committee. And we had been asked to define what a prudent reserve was. And after much struggle and effort, I stood up before the conference and said that a prudent reserve would equal 1 year's operating expense. And I'm sure Alan remembers this. At that time, 1 year's operating expense for General Service Office was $1 million. I asked for a vote, and the conference passed it just like that, $1 million. I then had a little addendum to our committee's report, which further stated that it was suggested that a prudent reserve for an area or a state or a district or a group would be what each entity felt would be the necessary amount of money for them to have on hand. Now, that wording to me meant whatever you want to have would be your prudent reserve. 2 hours later, I was still standing there.
Yeah.
You remember, Alan? Nobody could agree. So, but these figures I'll give you are for 8 months, if I can just find it here, because it's quite interesting. For the first 8 months, contribution income was $1,157,600. We made $2,100 because of a cash flow money fund that we use. Total income, $1,159,700. expenses $1,545,000, which means a shortfall of group expenses over group contributions of $385,300. Now, I don't have a calculator up here, and I can't do it in my head, but 8 into 38 is something over $40,000 a month that right now the publishing, your publishing company, is making up the difference. AA Publishing in the first 8 months, and it's broken down, which I'm not going to read all of this, the net income for 6 months is $653,900. Now, to carry this a little bit further, in 1977, it was stated that if groups would increase contributions, or if groups who weren't contributing, or if groups that weren't registered would register and send in a token contribution, there would be a direct reflection in the cost of literature. And I'm sure many of you remember that there were two reductions in the cost of literature because group contributions went up for the next 2 years. I think it was under your good state chairman, my friend Joe, that an additional 6% discount was added. Is that right, Joe? Now, that 6% discount for the first 8 months amounted he didn't break it down, but it amounted to something over $100,000 on the total. So that is being given back to the groups, and it goes back to the same thing. We're operating and we're paying our expenses, but we're paying them out of publishing, where if the ideal situation would be that your publishing company could publish and give the literature if the donations were sufficient to keep us in operation. In other words, you'd pay for the paper, the binding, and the printing, the cost of it. There would not have to be any profit figured into it. Now, this was brought out very vividly in 1975 in Atlanta, when it was hammered and hammered and hammered on the cost of literature. And believe you me, the accounting office, the controller's office, knows to the penny what it costs to print each one of these, because the corporation I serve on has to price it. Excuse me. But it's like any commodity. If it costs you a dollar to produce it, you've got to have a profit added on to it, because when you start to replace the raw material that you bought to produce that dollar item, it's probably going to be $1.03. This is why we're so concerned with Holland, South America, and Central America, because they are pricing it at exactly what it costs. They're making no provision to replace what they're selling. This is a straight business transaction. Any of you know, if you buy something or make something for a dollar, it costs more than that to get it out into the consumer's hands, which in our case is literature. Questions? It's exactly 11:58 and a half, so I'm within the time frame, Mr. Chairman. Again, thank you very much, and to all of you for all the hospitality, courtesy, and considerations. Thank you, and I love you. God loves you.
Thank you, Joe, and we've all thanked you, and we love you. Our next meeting will be we're going to finish with the Lord's Prayer. Let's keep this thing spiritual now. This is not religious. We'll be at 1 o'clock. I would like all past delegates, as well as Paul and Pat from the office, as well as those who are going to pass out the ballots, to be here 10 minutes of one or so that we can do this in the open, wonderful way that AA works as we rotate. And I want to thank each of you for your support, your help here this morning. We've covered a lot, and we're not quite through. We've got the real big thing, the new delegate and the new alternate delegate coming up at 1 o'clock. If you would all join me, we'll close this meeting by praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.